This conference is being recorded.
All right, now I have on the phone one of my best buddies in the entire world, the great Mr. Chris McCombs. And, you know, about, I don't know, like 5 or 6 years ago, when I met Chris, he was a personal trainer at my fitness studio. And he went from, you know, 6 months of not really getting any clients to having a mindset shift to where within 6 months he was making a six-figure income. Then all of a sudden, Chris kind of disappeared. And I was like, where is he? And it turns out that he became this internet marketing guru in the fitness industry. And he's able to market and hardly spend any time at all and have trainers all over at all different facilities all over the place that were making them hundreds of thousands of dollars while he kind of kicked back at home, which led him to what he really loved, which is marketing and fitness marketing. And he has a blog right now, and you probably already know about it. If you're in the fitness industry, you know about this blog. It's called kickbacklife.com. It's probably one of the highest-ranked blogs in the entire industry here. And even outside of industry, it still just tears it up all over the world. Anyways, the great Chris McCombs, what's up, dude?
Hey, what's up, Steve? How you doing, bro?
I'm doing great, man. And I know I was just talking to you earlier. I know you got, like, right now you have, like, you know, between 7 and 10 info products, and you're cranking out like a product every month. So I know that mindset for you has got to be key, because like just the amount of stuff, of high quality stuff that you produce on a regular basis is pretty insane, man. I'm really, really looking forward to this interview.
Me too, man. It's an honor to be on the call, man. I just want to know that you're, you know, your friendship is has helped me a lot, man, especially in the beginning when I was in the trenches of building my business and trying to figure it all out, man. And I wouldn't be where I am today without you, brother, so I just wanted to let you know that.
Thanks, man. Likewise, dude. Well, you know what, man? Let's just jump right in. And the first question I have for you is, Chris, what is the key to making major positive changes in your business?
Okay, well, I want to say something about that. I got strong feelings on that because I actually was one of the most negative thinkers I knew, man. I mean, I grew up as a death metal kid. I mean, I don't know if you know, like what death metal kids are, but we thought everyone else sucked and was weak. And, you know, if you weren't one of our little group of four or five friends who were into like Entombed and, you know, just the real heavy Satan kill, kill, kill kind of music. I mean, if you weren't one of us, I mean, you sucked. And all I did was worry about stuff and put people down. And, you know, that got me to be a 30-year-old, basically, homeless, in and out of jail drug addict, just manifesting one negative thing after another in my life. And I got really bad results, and I saw that if I wanted to get good results in life, I had to do something different. And there were many things that led me to this. You know, one was just being miserable. There were books I read. There was meeting you. There was seeing people in life who had accomplished things I wanted to accomplish. And I saw that, hey, you know, I have to basically focus on the things I want, have clear and defined goals, feel good about those goals becoming true, be grateful for what I have, take action every day or most days in the direction of those goals. Don't worry about the hurdles, just understand those are things to those are chances to grow and to get on my real path. And not worry about stuff and just kind of live in the present moment. And I mean, I'm a spiritual guy, so I hand over a lot of stuff to God, and I do a lot of, you know, I pray morning and night, and that stuff helps me a lot. And being a good human being, you know what I mean? Trying to contribute to life instead of take from life. I mean, these simple things that a lot of self-help gurus talk about, you talk about on your blog, all the big religions talk about, you know, that simple stuff. I mean, seriously, you know, I mean, within a year of making those kind of changes, my life was night and day difference. And now I look at it, and it's been a decade of making these changes, just short of a decade by a few months. And you know, I can tell you, I feel I have the dream life. There's not a day I wake up where I'm not extremely grateful for a business that makes the high six figures, quickly approaching seven figures, where I can take months off at a time and it still makes money. I have an amazing, amazing wife I love with everything in me. Have two little girls that, I mean, are just absolutely the apple of my eye, and there's nothing in the world I wouldn't do for them. To have amazing people in my life, like you and Bedros and Zach Hunt and my assistant Dell, just some incredible people in my life. And you know, the fact that I'm, you know, there I am, a 6'6" guy, and you know, I'm not crippled, and I get up every morning and can breathe the fresh air and have the kind of freedom I have and live in Southern California. I mean, it's just, it's phenomenal. From going from a guy who was, you know, getting locked up, completely suicidal, completely depressed, you know, hooked on, you know, more drugs than I want to get into, and who just, you know, was not happy with life, to this, to really, you know, I don't make more money than everyone I know, but I don't know, I really don't know anyone who has the freedom I do. I know people who make 10 times the money I do and now have quite a bit of freedom, but I really get up and I just think I have it made. I mean, there's a lot of days where I get up at 10 or 11, I go lift weights, I start working at 2 and I'm off at 5 or 6, and it's just, I get to spend time with my little girls, and it's just, it's incredible.
Ah, that's awesome, dude. Hey, Chris.
Yes.
Let me ask you this. Do you ever still feel fear and doubt?
Oh, yeah. Almost, you know, every day. It comes up in me every day. And you know what? I just don't really listen to it. I don't have to pay attention to the thoughts that I don't want to. You know what I mean? Some people call it, the committee in the head. I don't have to listen to that committee in the head. The fear, I get fears all the time, but I walk through them today. I used to let them paralyze me, and that would make the fear worse. Like, so if I was scared of something, I wouldn't do it, right? Now, by not doing it, I became more scared of it and literally paralyzed by that fear to do anything about it. And then I read a book by a woman called named Susan Jeffers called Feel the Fear, Do It Anyway, and I learned that from Evan Pagan. He turned me on to that book, and it's basically about getting out of your comfort zone and doing those things that make you uncomfortable, because once you do them, now you become much less uncomfortable with it, and your comfort zone grows. So there's things like, like last year I spoke at three big conferences, all of them between 200 to 400 people in the room, and I've been freaked out my whole life on public speaking. And when I do it, you know what? I'm still amped. The adrenaline's pumped. But once I did it that first time and walked through it, I mean, my comfort zone became so much larger with that kind of thing. You know what I mean? And my whole business has been like that. When I approached people for human billboard clients, even though I was offering to train them for free, it used to make me so nervous at first. But you know what? I just did it. And I knew that the only thing holding me back from a six-figure income was my thoughts about what people thought about me. And their thoughts about me are none of my business. My thoughts about me and my thoughts about them, that's my business, not their thoughts about me. So either I can just take action and not worry about what they think and do it anyway and make a lot of money, or I can, you know, be paralyzed by this fear and not make any money. And I saw that was the biggest thing, and I still see it in coaching clients and friends. The ones who don't want to get out of that comfort zone are the ones who in a year are still going to be making the same amount of money, still have the same business, and they're just not going to be moving closer to their goals. Guys like you, me, Bedros, Michael Divis, I can look at people, you know, clients and friends and things like that who step out of those fears, and, you know, they grow and they constantly grow. And sometimes we make bad decisions. Sometimes we get off track. But if you look at us over any period of time, we're generally much farther ahead and closer to where we want to be than we were. And a lot of that is just doing the stuff that makes us uncomfortable. So there's not a day goes by that I don't have some kind of anxiety, fear, worrisome thought. I just don't let them run me today. You know, I just realize it's part of the human condition. And these are just things that allow me to grow and become a better person. And it's the stuff that, you know, if we didn't have them as humans, we'd all be the same. Everyone would be successful and have freedom, and it wouldn't be fun. I mean, I'm kind of proud of what I've created, and a lot of that has been because I've walked through these fears.
Oh, man, that's powerful. I really like the way you explained that, man. Hey, Chris, do you ever feel unmotivated?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, about half the year or a third of the year. And when I do, I basically will take vacations. I'll just kind of have lazy work days where maybe I'm not pumping out products. I'm just kind of having some fun with the blog and stuff like that. I probably half the year or two-thirds of the year I'm super motivated, and then maybe, you know, a third of the year or something I'm not. And I just use that as time to take off, I look at it, life's in cycles, everything's in cycles. You're one of the few people I know who are always motivated, always firing on all cylinders, it seems. I've learned it's not me, and you've seen me. You've seen me over the years, and you know, there's times I'm antisocial. I don't wanna you know, go hang out with people or talk to people. I don't wanna, you know, work on my goals. I just wanna kick back. And when I do that, and I've tried to push through it, I've ended up feeling burnt out and miserable. And when I listen to my body and say, hey, take it easy, focus on your spiritual path now, or focus on spending time with the family, and then typically after I do that for a few weeks or months, then I'm all fired up about my goals again. So I just kind of listen to my, I just kind of listen to my my inner being on what it wants. And when I'm motivated, I bust ass, and I'll work my rear off. And when I'm not, I don't. And that works really well for me.
Do you ever feel unmotivated, but like you're in the middle of something that you have to, like a project that you have to finish by a deadline, but you're, for whatever reason?
Yeah, I hate that. Yeah, not very often, because I don't take on too many responsibilities except for the deadlines I give myself. I'll just usually charge through it and know that sometimes in life we got to do things we don't want to do. But when we do it, you know, the result is almost always good. It's like working out. You know, I've been lifting weights again and stuff for, I don't know, 6 months or a year now, and there's some days, man, I don't want to go do it. I'm always glad I did, and always gets me one step closer to where I want to be, you know?
Nice, man. Hey, Chris, tell me about, like, your view on setting goals, and if that's important, and if so, how do you set goals, man?
Super important. I'm actually looking at, right as you said that, I was looking at this big whiteboard I have with all these goals in my office. I keep it really simple. I'll usually just have two or three big goals for myself, you know, maybe a business goal or two, and, you know, maybe a health and fitness goal, and then possibly some other goals. But I usually don't have too many of them, and they're usually something I'll put a timeline on. I like having goals that are about a year out. That seems to work really well for me. And then I kind of figure out, I kind of work backwards, what do I got to do to get there? And I'll write out what I got to do to get there. And a lot of times that'll change along the path. You know what I mean? You'll kind of go, oh, well, I didn't need to do this, but I need to do that over there. And then what I'll do is I'll just focus on the big actions I can do today or this week to get me towards those goals. And I keep it simple. I don't like to wake up with a huge to-do list. I have a big to-do list to get to those goals, but that's in a pile over here. I can't even see it. For example, today my to-do list is honestly, it was four things. I had a coaching call before this, and then this call with you. So that's one thing, is calls. Cardio, I got to do some cardio, and then I'm going to write a copy for a blog product I have coming out, and I'm going to go through, you know, an info product I just got. And those are the four things I got to do today. Now, my business required about 39 things today, but fortunately, I can do four of them, and the other 35 can be split up between my wife and my assistant, because I'm not really good at most of those things anyway. I focus on the ones I'm good at. So I like to keep it simple. I don't like to have 20 goals, you know, and put a bunch of pressure on myself. I like to have two, three, four goals that are about a year out. Usually I'll put them, like, I'll attach them to a birthday or a new year or something like that. I'll give myself a goal. I'll write it down. I'll have it in front of me in a few places. I'll feel good about knowing it's going to happen. I'll write down how I'm going to get there. And then out of these big action plans, which I usually mind map them out, I'll usually just break down what I have to do this week on a pad of paper, which would be 5 or 10 things. And each day, I'll do a few of those 5 or 10 things. And that works really well for me, and it keeps it really simple.
Nice, man.
And then a lot of times I don't hit my goals. However, I'm almost always a lot closer to them than I would have been if I didn't have the goal. But I'll be honest. I mean, I don't always hit my goals. Sometimes I far surpass them. Sometimes I hit them right on. And often, I come up short. But you know what? I'm way better than if I didn't have that damn goal in the first place.
Yeah, it's kind of like shoot for the moon, and if you hit the stars, you're still doing pretty darn good, right?
Shoot for the stars and hit the moon, bro. The moon's a lot closer than the stars, I think.
See? That's why I was in special ed, Chris. I appreciate it. The good news is, if I remember, I might even delete that. Just kidding. I'll leave it in. Hey, man, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
What do you think is the secret, like the absolute secret, to turning a thought or an idea into reality?
Well,
come
the biggest
on,
one that jumped in, well, the biggest one that jumped in mind is action. So you got to know what you want. There's the thought. You've got the thought, and I'm going to break it down to a couple things. I don't think I can just give it one. Okay. One is you got to be actually committed to making it happen. When I became an info marketer, I knew, and this was about a year before my info marketing business launched, that this is what I'm going to do no matter what. And I was able to take some time off because I had my training business dialed in to where it didn't require me. It ran without me. So I knew I had about a year of time where I can take off and build this thing. And I was willing to do whatever it took to make it happen. Nothing was going to stop me. Absolutely nothing. And that's the same way I built my training business. Nothing was going to stop me. Now, like with the info business, I had naysayers. I had, honestly, the majority of the other people in my business, honestly, with the exception of Bedros, okay, I had all these other guys tell me there's no money in this, don't get into it, okay? Bedros was the only one, this was months later, who said, oh, there's plenty of money here, come on in, you know what I mean? But all the other guys were telling me there's no money here. And if I'm looking at search terms, there's very few searches for these terms, okay? So it looked like there was no money, but I was committed to make it happen. The same thing happened in my training business. When I started it, at that point in time, I was not greatly out of shape, but I wasn't in super shape, right? And I didn't want to dress like a trainer, and there was plenty of reasons why being a trainer wouldn't work. You know what I mean? I could think of a million reasons. However, I was committed to making it happen. So I think that commitment, that in your gut, you're not going to try to make it happen, but no matter what, this is going to happen, okay? So I think that level of commitment and certainty is required, and then the action is required. It's just, you just have to go gung-ho in that direction. And you know what? Even if you're taking the wrong actions, you know, life will guide you along, and you'll figure out which are the right actions pretty quick. Because oftentimes, you know, we take tons of wrong actions, but they just lead us to the right ones. So I think that that inner commitment and then the action.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Hey, Chris, do you ever feel overwhelmed at all?
Yeah, that's why I think I get overwhelmed easier than most people. That's why I only have a little teeny to-do list. That's why I built my businesses that run without me, because if I know they require me all the time, man, I'm just going to stress me out. And I look at most entrepreneurs, right, who make a lot of money, and I just go, wow, there's no way I could do all that or want to do all that. That's just not me. I'm really OCD, you know, and exercise helps and diet helps and stuff like that, but I can get really controlling with stuff, you know what I mean? And that make me feel overwhelmed trying to control all the little small stuff. The things that have helped me is having systems in the business, outsourcing, having a personal system is probably one of the best things I've ever done. That is huge. And then just keeping it really simple and not stressing myself out. You know, I'm not one of these guys who, I don't want to take on the world, right? So I don't have goals of trying to get to 20 million bucks or something a year. That would stress me out. I have goals that allow me to have complete financial freedom where I don't have to work and I don't have to worry about money, and I can do whatever I want with my time. So my goals are freedom-based. And to have freedom-based goals, there's not a, you know, it's actually pretty easy. So I've made it to where it doesn't stress me out because I sense, and I could be wrong, but I sense I can get overwhelmed easier than most people. You know, sometimes, man, I like the caffeine, you know. Sometimes I'll drink a freaking espresso, and I'm just going to go do something simple, like get gas and go to the gym, and I'll feel overwhelmed by some little stuff like that, you know. And so I've made life really easy on myself, if that makes sense.
Nice. Hey, Chris, how do you get out of your comfort zone? Like, let's say you're about to do something, and you kind of brushed on it earlier, but let's say you're going to do something, and you just feel like, oh, man, like, oh, that feeling in your gut where you're like, this is so uncomfortable. What do you do to make it happen?
I just do it. I don't even think about it. I've tried thinking positive about it. That can help, but really, I just walk through it. Just do it. Like, before I've had to do public speak, I try not to think about it too much. I mean, even though my thoughts are on it, I just, like, tried not to worry about it. You know, gave it some positive energy there, but honestly, just doing it. Just walking through it and doing it. I mean, totally that's all you can do, you know?
And you kind of brushed on this earlier, too, but, like, what do you do? Is there anything that you do on a daily basis to stay focused?
Yeah, I mean, every day I have a little to-do list, and I just do the things on that list. I mean, it's really small. Usually it's going to be one health and fitness thing, so it's either do cardio or lift weights. And then there's usually, you know, two or three little business things on there, and I just do the things on that list. And I don't let myself see the other huge mind map of stuff that it takes to get to my goals. I just do today what I can do today. The live for today, live in the moment, one day at a time, that kind of thing. That just really helps me, because there's only so much I can do today, because I've learned when I have huge to-do lists, I would always finish the day feeling I didn't get enough done. And damn it, you know, I had 18 things to do and only did three of them. And oh man, it would just make me feel so stressed and disappointed in myself. So I keep it simple. Fortunately, when I figured out the 5% of things in my business I need to do, really, those critical things, that made it really easy, because I was able to give almost everything else to my wife, to my assistant, to web guy, to other people who had to do those tasks, and I can just do the ones that I'm good at and get me where I need to go. So that made it really simple on me.
Hey, that brings me to the next question. I know that nowadays, you know, for a long time people were talking about the 80-20 rule. You know, 20% of what you do is going to bring you 80% of the results you get. And now with the internet and with so many other, like, all this technology, it seems like there's a 5%. Can you kind of, like, tell me about what your take is on the 80-20 and 5 and how you figure that out?
Oh, well, I mean, it's absolutely true. If anyone looks in their closet, you probably only wear about 20% of your clothes. I mean, you know what I mean? It's just the way it is. The 80-20 rule is right. It could be more 5-95, and I think if you're an entrepreneur, and with all today's technology, it is closer to 5-95. But the 80-20 rule, it just, you know, it's so abundant in life. I mean, honestly, no matter what trainer you are, really only about 20% of your clients are going to, you know, when they're not training with you, are going to eat good and do all their cardio and get phenomenal results. You know, if you sell an info product, only 20% of people are going to go through it, take all the actions and do all that. I mean, I think it breaks more down to more like a 20-60-15-5, where 20% aren't going to do a damn thing, 60% will do a little, 15% will do it and do it well, and 5% will kick ass. If you look at, you know, people who buy a book, join a coaching program, buy an info product, join a personal training program, and it's kind of like that in our businesses. If you look at the stuff that needs to be done in your business, you know, there's probably, you know, I don't know, 20% that doesn't even need to get done. 60% you can give to your assistant or other people. 15% you can put down for later that you'll do later, might outsource, and then 5% you do yourself, something like that. So I do think it's critical that we only spend our time focused on the 5% of things that get us where they need to be. What's my 5%? You know, my 5% is focusing on the strategy, creating the marketing, like my sales copy, sales videos. It's content creation, even though I do outsource a ton of content creation now. It's networking, you know, like creating win-win relationships with other entrepreneurs and people who I can help them, they can help me. It's that kind of stuff. There's only really 5 or 10 things. And all of the other stuff, all the technical work, the administrative work, the billing, the customer service, all that stuff, someone else can do it. There's very little that needs to be done by me, and I like it that way. And, I mean, because that's the stuff I love and the stuff that's fun. If someone doesn't really have that concept down, a great book is The E-Myth, to go back to, how it breaks it down to every trainer. Okay, so every personal trainer wears 3 hats. If you own your own business, there's a technician's hat, which is basically writing up the workouts, maybe writing up the diets and training the people. There's a manager's hat, which is doing customer service, scheduling the clients, billing the people, that kind of stuff. And then there's the entrepreneur's hat, which is the marketing, the big picture strategy, creating win-win relationships. And that's where most trainers need to spend their time. It's not so much wearing the technician's hat, training people all the time, even though you can still train if you want to, but you should be spending even more time in the entrepreneur's hat and outsource as much of the technician's and the manager's hat as you want to or, you know, need to in your business. That's what I did. I just focused on the entrepreneur's hat. And one thing that makes it really simple is if you look at most trainers focus on becoming great trainers. But once you get to a point of knowing how to get someone in shape, there's not a whole lot you can do to increase your income by becoming a better trainer. Okay? There's not a whole lot. Where most trainers need to do is they need to get better at the marketing of the training, not the training. Don't get better at what you do. Get better at the marketing of what you do. That's where the money is. That's the entrepreneur's job. That's the 5%. And then all the little logistical and technical stuff that comes in the marketing, like building websites and things like that, you can outsource. But the big picture understanding of the marketing, the strategy of the marketing, the direction of the marketing is what you should be in charge of. And that's 5% stuff.
Awesome, man. Hey, and Chris, besides like having a list, like a small list, what do you do to stay organized? Like what kind of software or what kind of physical things do you do to stay organized in your businesses?
I use mind maps. So when I create a product, I'll usually mind map it out. When I do a sales page, sales copy, I usually mind map it out first. When I have a goal to get to, I'll mind map it out. So I use like MindJet. It's like $300 software, but I love it. And I think there's free software you can get that's almost as good. So mind mapping is huge. You know what? I don't even use an iPhone at this point. I love iPhones, so I have an iTouch, so I can watch little movies and listen to music and all that. But I don't want my email in my pocket and all that kind of stuff. So I have, and people laugh at me because I have this old looking, looks like a cop's phone. It's like a little flip phone. So I don't use any kind of technical software for that. We use Google Documents in the business. My wife and assistant and the trainers and everything put things in Google Documents and I review them. So I look at Google Documents, which are great. But I don't really, I'm a paper and pen guy, man. I don't really make things too complicated. I know all this software and stuff like that can make things easier on people, but I like... You know, my grandpa was an entrepreneur with 500 employees making, you know, $6 or $8 million a year, and he did everything by yellow pad and pen. And my dad did the same. My dad's been pretty successful, and I just grew up seeing that, and it's just worked with me, you know. So I would say mind map and a yellow pad and a pen is what I've
awesome,
pretty much
used. Nice. So, yeah. Hey, Chris, what besides the EMS and besides Feel the Fear and Do It Anyways, what were some of the most influential books that you could recommend that you've read?
Okay, the 4-Hour Work Week, especially the new expanded and updated version with like 100 extra pages, that resonates with me. Some people look at it and think it's bullshit and all that, but I mean, I don't work 4 hours a week, neither does the writer of the book, but I can tell you, for the income we have and the freedom we have, I work a lot less than just about anyone I know, and a lot of it is a direct result of that book. So I'd say that book is huge. Obviously, Think and Grow Rich is going to be a massive one for mindset. The one you turned me on to, How to Win Friends and Influence People, years and years ago, that thing changed my whole training business overnight. That has been a huge one. One for me that's kind of simplified life. It's a spiritual book. It might not resonate with everyone, but it's the book, The Power of Now. That book has helped me a lot. Like, I know, I think I turned you on to it, and you're like, what the hell is this, man? It's not everyone's thing, man, but it works for me, man. Those are, you know, and if you want to understand general persuasion, that's the Influence by Robert Cialdini. But those books, I would say, would be the biggies. You know, those 5 or 6 books right there, I think you can probably buy them all for under $100 total. You can get Think and Grow Rich for free if you just Google it because the copyrights ran out on it. So you can get a PDF download of that for free. Those books, yeah.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Great books. Hey, Chris, is there anything that you'd like to add to someone who really just wants to have the ultimate mindset for success? Is there anything that you'd like to add to help them with that?
You know what, just basically figure out exactly what you want. And sometimes for me it was figuring out the opposite of what I don't want. I didn't want to work long days. I didn't want to have to show up at a cubicle or construction site. I didn't want to punch a clock. I didn't want a boss. And when I figured out the, you know, so what's the opposite of that? information marketing was the opposite of that. So, you know, that, so I kind of figured out what was the opposite of what I didn't want, and it was freedom and time and all that, and the best way to do that I found was info marketing. So find out what you do and don't want, focus on what you want, be committed at a gut level to do whatever it takes. I mean, besides stepping on people or something, you know what I mean? Don't, like, you know, whatever it takes, that's positive. I mean, hope that makes sense. But be committed to do whatever it takes to get to where, to get to that goal, to make that thing happen, and then just take massive action. You know, so know what you want, be completely committed in your gut, and take massive action, and you'll get there. And I think a lot of people know what they want, but they don't get committed in their gut, and maybe that's because they haven't taken enough action on other things in the past and made things happen that they just don't, it's hard for them to get that gut feeling. I mean, once you accomplish a few great things, it's easier to get that gut feeling for the next thing, because you know, hey, I've done this, this, and this, so I can do this next thing. But then just taking the action. You've got to take the action. Today, I have a pretty chill life, but when I go create something new, sometimes it gets chaotic for a while. You know, when I created my training business, I was in the middle of chaos, and a lot of times success happens in chaos. When I worked to systemize my training business so I didn't have to work in it, it got chaotic for a while. When I did my first info product launch for the Market Annihilator, it got chaotic, and I put in long days and long hours. However, once I created those systems, on the other side of it is a lot of freedom. Now I'm able to create small products and things like that with amount of freedom. If I want to do another huge product, huge launch, then there's probably going to be some chaos and some long days, and then I can scale it back. I'm not trading today's hour, you know, for a dollar. I'm building something that can pay me over and over and over. Build it once, get paid again and again, that kind of thing. So I don't know why I went off on that little rant there, but, you know, take the action, be willing to get in the middle of some chaos, and be willing to do whatever it takes, and, you know, you will get there. And I don't need to sound pessimistic or negative, but if you're listening to this, I'm curious. Who are you? Are you one of the 20% who's going to do nothing, probably turn this call off early? Are you one of the 60% who might do one thing, right? Are you one of the 15% who will get something good out of this call and you're actually going to take some actions and have some positive stuff in your life? Or are you in the 5% who's going to go kick frickin' ass? And I wonder, you know, listening to this call, which one of those are you? I know which one I am. I know which one Pedros is. I know which one Steve is. And listening to this call, you know, I'm curious which one you are. And if you're one of the 5%, you know it in your heart and in your gut. You have no doubt.
Yeah, dude. And you know what, man? That's a great point. And what's really neat is that whoever you are, you could just decide to be whoever you want to be right this very second. You could say, you know what? From now on, I'm going to be the kind of guy to take massive action. And then just start taking action, and you become that person.
Yep, I agree. Couldn't agree more. That's what I did.
You know that more than anybody, dude. Hey, okay. Chris, man, I really appreciate that awesome interview. You gave just super, super killer, killer info for anybody that wants to have the ultimate mindset formula. And, man, I thank you so much, Chris.
Hey, thanks, bro. And you know what? I owe a lot of it to you. You've helped me a ton, and you've got the mindset thing nailed better than anyone in the fitness industry I know. So there's no one better to be teaching this stuff than you, bro.
Thank you, man. Hey, dude, have an awesome day, bro.
You too, brother.